Good evening, lovelies. Welcome to another episode of Coffee, Candy, and Creatives. My creative tonight is writer and director Eduardo Rodriguez. He's also a Florida State alumni, but we won't hold that against him. His latest project, The Darkness of the Road, is available to watch on Apple TV, iTunes, Google Play, Amazon Prime, amongst others. This episode is brought to you by Realtor Esther Greaves of Gladheart Realty, serving the residential KC metro area since 2006. She is licensed in both Kansas and Missouri. Her local areas include South Kansas City, downtown Kansas City, Leawood, Overland Park, Lee Summit, and Cass County. For all your residential real estate needs in the Kansas City area, go to gladheartrealty.com and ask for Esther Greaves. Grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage. Plug in a nightlight because you might need it. Cuddle up with your host pup and enjoy the show. Hello, how
hey,
are you?
How are you doing?
Can't complain. How are you doing this fine? What are we on Thursday night?
Thursday night, almost Christmas, yeah.
Yeah, oh my God. I can't even with it, I'm telling you. I just asked, I said to a friend, what are you doing tomorrow? And they're like, it's Christmas Eve. I'm like, oh,
That's right. Year is almost over. Yep.
Gosh. I don't know what 2022 is going to hold for us, but fingers crossed, right?
You know, a little better than this one. How about that?
Exactly. Yeah. That's all we can hope for. Yeah. I'm so glad that we get to talk tonight. And your film, The Darkness of the Road, mm-hmm. is creepy. Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Super creepy and I love it. And you got me. I'm not gonna say what point, because I want people to watch it and be got themselves. But I jumped up out of my chair like, okay, oh my God.
Well, that's good. That's good news.
Yeah, well, that's what you want, right?
That's what exactly.
Right. So I have notes. I wanted to go a little bit back in your past. Is this making films, is this something that you've always wanted to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, since I was a kid, I said that I wanted to be a producer, but I didn't know what a producer meant or a director or anything. I just knew I wanted to make movies. Right. And looking back, maybe a producer was better. You make more money as a producer than as a director, you know. But yeah, always since I was a kid, I remember my dad rented an 8mm camera. And I had the Star Wars action figures. Mm-hmm. And I made a movie with it. Wasn't even like stop motion. I would just grab them and just make them act. Yeah, just move them with my hands. So yeah, I always wanted to make movies.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it's almost it could have even been a think piece. You know, look at us lowly humans, how we are moved.
Yeah, exactly.
So, what is it going into the film? What is it about darkness that scares people so much? I'm terrified of the dark, and I feel like to me it's because there's things you can't see. Mm. Right, so what is it about the dark for you that like is so creepy, so scary for you?
I agree with you 100%. I think it's the unknown. Darkness represents that you don't see or hear, you don't know. And I think we're all afraid a little bit of
the unknown.
Unknown. So I think
for sure
that's where we are afraid of the dark.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it can hide so much.
Exactly. Things could be bad things, but you never know. Yeah.
That's right. And for our poor mom in the film, it's hiding some things that she'd really rather not know about. Mm-hmm. Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it seems like all she wants to do is kind of get her life back on track and get her daughter to, you know, to this new destination, to this new life, and to start over, mm-hmm. you know, and to get her, and not, I don't know if it's going to spoil anything, but to get her daughter healthy, mm-hmm. you know. And she's had some rough times. She's in a piece of junk car.
Yeah.
And just on this road in the middle of basically nowhere, and which, by the way, is terrifying in itself as well. Anybody who's taken, you know, that back road at night.
Yep.
There is a stretch of road between here and on your way to like Orlando. And when it's dark, it's dark.
It's dark. And you don't see anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And anything could cross, you know, be in the road. It could be an alligator. It could be a deer. In some places it could be, you know, a bear. So just the concept of being on a road in the dark, basically by yourself, because who's going to back you up? Your little girl in the back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's already unnerving. It's already got the viewer nervous and anxious. And then stuff starts to happen.
And then things happen, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's so kind of jumpy in a good way, where it's like, you think, okay, we're cool. Nope, we're not cool. We're still not cool. Okay. And it's just so, so awesomely done. And I wanted to ask
you
a little bit of, oh, you're welcome. I wanted to ask you about the logistics and kind of your thought process, because I'm guessing this was filmed in the middle of nowhere. How long was the shoot?
The shoot was, it's been a while, but I think it was 18 days.
Okay.
And it was in the middle of nowhere. We shot here in Lancaster, which is a deserty area here in California. And you didn't know, like you said, like just being in the middle of nowhere with nothing around you is scary. You don't need a lot more to make a horror movie. That's a horror movie on its own, you know? And we were shooting all nights. And it was freezing cold. I think the word is was like 10 degrees.
Wow.
We were all like, it was wintertime, like it was snowing. There was no snow, but we were all like covered, can only see our eyes. And it was brutal, especially for the actors, because we could put as many layers as we wanted, but they had their costumes. So so they had like a thermal layer, and then they had their clothes on, and that was it. So in a way it was brutal, but in a way I think it also helped, because when you are on the temperature and you were like in the middle of nowhere, that brings so much to the performance. And I think that, that really helped.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's bringing that discomfort and adding it to the nervousness or the, you know, uneasiness of being in the dark in the middle of nowhere. And you're just going to get just an amazing performance from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At some point, we thought about making it, because he's so black around them. We thought we could do this on a soundstage. So at some point we considered that idea, but it wasn't going to be the same. It's not the same being a soundstage, air conditioner, just sitting in a chair, that being there on a road in the middle of nowhere at night, you know?
Right. I think you're right. I think it would have lost something.
There's a scene where there's a vapor coming out of her mouth, just, and that's not visual effects. We didn't have the money to do it. It's just like it's that cold.
Yeah, for sure. There's so many things in the film, just little things that just contribute to the weirdness and the disturbing feel of it. For instance, at the gas station, the old man, like sleeping with his eyes open. That's one of the creepiest things ever. Anybody who sleeps with their eyes open, first of all. And just the douchebag attitude of the younger
clerk.
Man. Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, it's just these little things. Like if you don't know a lot about the film going into it, you're like, oh, he's going to kill her. You know, she's about to die.
These are the bad guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You think, and then, you know, it's like the car, you know, it's just like all of these little things. Nothing in the movie makes you feel like, oh, this is a comedy. this is a very happy ending into the beautiful rainbow sunset.
Yeah, I agree. There could be no happy ending, because it's basically a tragedy, the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
So there's resolution for sure. And she comes to understand what happened to her and what she did and the decisions that she had to make. But yeah, there could be no happy ending, because the whole thing is a real tragedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just a case of closure is not always a happy ending.
Exactly.
And that,
it's
you
more
know,
about finding peace with yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I looked at your, you know, your back catalog, and I saw that you did Fright Night 2.
Mm-hmm.
And Fright Night, the original, is one of my favorites. So how cool was that to, like, get on board?
So don't watch this one. Anybody who's a big fan of the original one hates the one that I made. It was, I have to say, it was fun to make that movie. Everybody was super cool. We shot that movie in Romania. That was Fox home video, which doesn't exist anymore. But the producers, the executive at Fox, everybody was super, super cool. But it was a challenge because the original Friday Night is such a big cult. And basically the reason they made that movie was we have the rights to Friday Night. If we don't make a movie this year, we lose the rights to the franchise. So I remember the writer wrote the script in like a month. And they called me, it's like, we have this movie, we have to make this now. If you like the script and you want to do it, let's do it. And I remember the reason they told me later, the reason I got the job was because there's a scene in Friday Night 2, it's an animated sequence. And I pitched them that idea that wasn't on the script. And they were like, oh, when you told us about the animation, we knew you were the guy. But the reason I pitched that idea is because it was so expensive to shoot that sequence. I was like, we're never going to be able to shoot this thing in real life. So we got to come up with a way to shoot this thing for cheap. And so it got me the job. So that was a good thing. But yeah, it is basically the original Friday Night with a few changes, but it's almost the same story. And I think that's one of the reasons why people don't like this Friday Night 2, because it doesn't feel like a remake. It doesn't feel like a prequel, like a sequel. It just feels like you're just making the same movie.
Right.
The original one.
Right. And some people have a real problem with that. Like myself, people love, you know, Wicked,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the book, the play.
Yeah.
And when it first came out in book form, I hated it because I love The Wizard of Oz. And I was like, look at this charlatan, look at this cheater taking characters that already exist. I got to be honest, I still don't like it. But I was just like, how lazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see if people, because people talk about, and my God, they've done it. They did it with Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And they're like, oh, Lady Ghostbusters, this is lazy writing. But you know what? It stood on its own. So I think if you have the concept and then you just write an original story, I think it doesn't matter if the characters have the same name, because it is a new story. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. I agree. But for the hardcore fans like yourself, it feels offensive, like you were saying, like, why are you touching my beloved characters and this amazing movie? And I think that's where the conflict is, like, no, I don't want to see this, or I don't like this.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's good or bad. I don't want to see it, or I don't like it.
Right.
I have a special place in my heart for that.
Right. They're already going in with prejudice against it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Well, the same producers after a while remade Jacob's Ladder, which is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't watch that because I knew I was going to react exactly the same way. I was like, I hate this movie already.
On principle, I hate it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it funny how, like, some people don't care. Some people just go into the movie and just enjoy it. And other people, like us, we put way too much thought into it, probably.
Yeah, we take it too seriously. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And God forbid they make a film from a book, because then you're sitting in the front row or the middle row going,
yeah. Mm-mm.
That's not what happened in the book.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. But I mean, give it a shot. For everybody listening, I say give pretty much any film a shot, even if it's something that's beloved to you. You might like it. You might leave the movie theater, or you might, you know, turn off the television feeling vindicated about your feelings.
Yep.
You know?
I agree.
So I think everything deserves a chance.
And it's entertainment. At the end of the day, most movies are entertainment. So like we were saying, you don't need to take it that seriously, you know.
Right. Just have fun. And you know, if you go to the theater, you get to have snacks. Mm-hmm. So it's a win. Honestly.
The win-win. That's right.
Well, I know that the film's available for streaming. Is it available now or?
Yeah, it came out on the 14th, so like 10 days ago.
So
we're good. And it's streaming like Apple TV, Google Play,
YouTube, Amazon.
Like yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to have a physical DVD release?
I believe so. Okay. I believe they already released it. I'm not sure 100%, but I believe they were going to release it on DVD and streaming. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. The difference between the beginning of the year and the end of the year, speaking with independent filmmakers, at the beginning of the year, it was just streaming. That's it. And I don't know if that came down to budget or if that came down to whomever's in charge of the business type decisions with didn't see a market at the mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. Because not everybody, but so many people were at home. So many people were still at home. And it's kind of like now when, unless Omicron comes and kicks our ass, but it seemed like things loosened a little bit enough to where they were going to stores again, yep. You know? Mm-hmm. So it's so funny just to see like the difference between the beginning and the end of the year. So hopefully next year will be that people are going to theaters more and can go to theaters more.
Yeah, yeah. And I think theaters need that. I mean, it's been a couple of rough years for all the chains, you know? So,
Well, just the difference between, I would say, 6 months ago and now. In June, we went to the movies for my son's birthday and we saw Spirit, the animated horse movie.
Yeah.
Almost empty. Almost empty, you know? He didn't go this time. My other sons and I went and saw Spider-Man a few days ago. Mm-hmm. Packed. You know, and granted, difference in movies.
Of course.
But just the difference to me, it was like, oh my God, there's so many people here. You know, I was like, it's just so strange just in a 6 month stretch.
And a year ago, it didn't matter how big the movie was. There was nobody in the theaters. Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's so sad to me that like before June, it had been probably a good year and a half that mm-hmm. I had seen a movie in the theater, you know. I like that experience. I like having a bag of popcorn, you know, with too much butter on it. I like having, you know, that whole all the sound, the huge screen, the lights. I mean, it's an experience.
Yeah, people, you can't have that at home. Mm-hmm.
No. Well, I mean, unless you're super rich and you have a media room, but yeah.
And even then, because, I mean, I don't know, but I doubt you're going to invite 300 people to come and see the movie with you. So you don't get all the laughter or all the jump scares or all, you don't get that communal experience, you know, it's just you and a friend or whatever, you know. So,
right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And for instance, if this film was, you know, in theaters, there would be jump scares. You know, you might have the stranger next to you grab your arm. Because, you know, you don't get that at home.
Yep.
At home, you're like, ah. And you're alone. You're like, there's nobody to talk to about this.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
With the Spider-Man film, there were cheers. There was clapping. People were woo, 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 you know. And just that, I got so like emotional.
Of course.
Yeah, it was so, and we've missed it. We've missed concerts. We've missed.
It is like going to a concert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is like going to a concert. A small concert for sure. Mm-hmm. So hopefully next year things are a little better for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you have a premiere? Were you able to have a premiere for it?
No, it's just been streaming and DVD for sure. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's okay. Maybe next year.
Maybe next year. I'm fine. I just want people to see the movie. So whatever media we can put it out there, I'm cool.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they'll watch it at home and then they'll have to put a nightlight in because they're going to be scared of the dark.
Watch it during the day.
Yeah, there you go.
Then by now you forgot. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, you know, and there's some psychopaths that watch horror films and go to sleep. So
Oh yeah, nothing baffles him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, it's like, what are you doing? I need to watch cartoons for a little bit, and then I'm going to bed. Well, that's awesome. So, what's up next for you?
Well, during the pandemic, I wrote a couple of series. I want to try to get into the whole series world. Okay. Speaking of streaming, mainly because you get to explore so much more the story. Mm-hmm. Like in a movie, you only have 2 hours, an hour and a half, right, to tell a story. And with series, you have at least one season to, and if it doesn't get canceled, then you got plenty of time to explore those people. And that's one of the reasons I wrote Darkness of the Road. Is based on a short film that I wrote and directed. I went to FSU in Tallahassee, okay, Florida State. So that was my thesis film over there. It was called Daughter.
Okay.
And it's exactly the same idea. Daughter goes missing, and mom starts searching for her. But that was only 15 minutes long. So I always wanted to know more about mom and why she did what she did and the consequences of what she did. And that's the reason why I wrote the feature version of it. So I love the idea of exploring more those characters. And I think series give you that opportunity more than film. So right, hopefully make a series next year. That would be nice. Yeah.
So like 30-minute little episodes?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't wrapped up the story at the end of, 30 or 28 minutes or whatever it is, you got the next one.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So you went to FSU. Did you grow up in Florida?
No, I grew up in Venezuela.
Okay.
But I went to film school in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know they had a film school. Well, I'm a Gator fan, so I'm obligated to hate the Seminoles just on principle. So,
yeah, that's part of the game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I was amazed. Tallahassee, like the town, leaves for the football game. It was a very interesting experience because it is part of the town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And Seminole fans are some of the most dedicated and passionate fans. Yep. Even if the team's on a losing streak, they're going to come back. But it is what it is. So you came from Venezuela directly to Tallahassee?
Yeah, that's 1999.
Wow.
So a few years ago. And then from Tallahassee, I got my first movie coming out of film school. So I moved here to California. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, that's the obvious choice, mm-hmm, really.
I wanted to stay in New York because I love New York City. And the producers told me, like, no, you have to go to LA. And I was like, all right, sure, I'll go to LA.
Yeah, me and 1,000 other people, sure. Well, I'll have to give FSU a little more respect just for having a film school, I suppose.
They do have a really good program because the reason why, in my opinion, their program is so good is you always shooting from day one. They always put you, either you hold the boom, the microphone, or like you're shooting or you're gripping, whatever it is, but you always continue, and that's how you learn, mm-hmm, not so much theory, but mostly practice. And I think that makes the program so good.
Mm-hmm. Right. You learn by doing.
Exactly. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, and what you're describing, it sounds like you learn every aspect.
You do. So you understand what every department, what they're going through and the problems that they might face. Maybe you don't go there because you want to be a costume designer, but you have to at some point take care of the costumes for a movie, so you understand how hard it is or all the issues you might have. Right. So I think that's also a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that type of education and training lends itself very well to being a filmmaker, especially a filmmaker that is probably going to be on a budget, to where you're like, oh crap, I can do it.
Exactly. I know how to do that. I've done it before. Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
So you're planning the series. Is it horror related?
It is horror. It is a thriller.
A thriller. Okay.
But there's blood and guts and dead people.
So nice.
A little bit of horror in there.
Shop that around, would you? Well, there's been an uptick, I think, in slightly more graphic content. We really edged out of, like, for the longest time, it was rom-coms and like happy-go-lucky and nothing against any of this, but it seemed like that's what you could find. Mm-hmm. You know, and then so anything that was like The Walking Dead or, you know, something like that was an oddity. And I think it's more common now, which is kind of nice, but I just hope it doesn't get so flooded, because, you know, when there's so many things to choose from, you're going to probably end up not watching any of it because you're exactly. like, I'm overwhelmed. Yeah.
Which is what's happening. I think there's so many. I mean, there's Hulu, there's Netflix, there's Disney Plus. There's so many streaming channels that mm-hmm. at some point you're like, I don't even know where to go to. I just
right.
want to watch something and relax. You right. know, there's so many.
And if somebody
options.
Recommends something, you're like, oh, well, what platform is it on? Someone will say, oh, it's on, what's the new one? Paramount Plus.
Oh, Paramount like, Plus. Yeah.
What is that? Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, what are you guys doing? But a lot of people are saying that the bigger studios are doing these little streaming services because they end up paying themselves back for their own properties or something like yeah. that. I'm like, what the heck, man? But yeah, so and HBO Max, I'm like addicted to HBO Max right now because there's some great shows on it.
They always have had. They've always been at the top of the food chain, in my opinion, HBO. Always yeah. have to top quality. Mm-hmm.
For sure. Mm-hmm. So you finish writing and then do you shop it around or do you go out on a limb and you make it yourself and then shop it around?
It depends. Some shows you find the producers and they have the connection with the money and then you go and make it and then you shop it around. Sometimes it's a package where you already have the distributor in place and they have the money. At the end of the day, it all comes down to money. So whoever has the money, that's who you follow.
Okay.
That's where you so go to.
Yeah. So you might even have to like take the plunge, make the pilot and then.
Yes.
Wow. What a risky business, but what a great business too. Well,
I always say it's a business. You have to really love it. Mm-hmm. Nobody in their normal minds will do what we do because it's risky. There's a lot of disappointment. There's a lot of rejection. I mean, Darkness of the Road, I was 10 years trying to make this movie. Wow. Since the moment I wrote it till last year when we made it, it's been 10 years. So it was a lot of no's, we got to a point where we even hired people and then the financier fell through and we couldn't make the movie. So you really have to believe on the project and be like, okay, well, it doesn't happen today, it'll happen tomorrow. Otherwise you just quit. Like, I'm not gonna, you don't do any job for 10 years for free.
No.
Hoping that at some point
right.
it'll pay off, you know?
Right.
So you really have to love this.
Well, this 10 years, your little girl actress kept growing up.
Yeah. Exactly.
She's looking too old.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
Yeah.
But it's here and it's out and it's so good. And
thank
it's
you.
Spooky. It's super spooky. Like, it's getting dark outside now and I'm like, I don't want to go to Target.
Don't go into any road, into any desolated road. Yeah, for sure.
No. Yeah. I'm going to go across the street and go to Target and that's
okay,
it.
Okay, cool.
I'm done. Cool. But it has been so fun talking to you and getting inside your head, even if you are an FSU alumni. I'll let it slide.
Okay, yeah, let's put that on. Yeah, awesome. Okay.
And please keep me posted on the upcoming project. I'm really interested to see.
Yeah, we'll do
what
for
happens,
sure.
Where it goes. Yeah, for sure.
Also, it's been a pleasure. Likewise.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for making this film because I get to see the coolest things, you know.
There you go.
Yeah, for sure. That's and fun. you are so like upbeat and positive and in this business that can just drag you down. And I love that.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank
Keep
you.
Keep it up. Eduardo, thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too. Happy New Year.
Fingers crossed. And see you later. All right,
take care. Bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this creative conversation. Be sure to follow me on social media. I am Pup Duffy basically everywhere. You can follow the show on Facebook. It's Coffee, Candy, and Creatives. Head over to beunique.org. Like, follow, and support my beautiful humans over there. Be sure to check out my sponsor. And for your own sponsorship or interview opportunities, please email me at pup4ccc@gmail.com. If you like the music you're hearing, head on over to RaleighKeegan.com and do yourself a favor and buy this album. You can download it or you can have a physical CD. You can also keep up to date on tour dates and future releases. As always, take care of each other, love each other, watch each other's back, and I'll see you next time.